morning and happy Monday.
Nate it's Goodyear, Monday.
Katie Christensen's right there. That's her voice. You know that already, though.
Hey there.
It's just the two of us today. We'll take you right up till 9 o'clock. Back to normal programming tomorrow. But, you know, Dave is still on the old, hey, I had a long time in Vegas type of deal. So he's got one more day of freedom before he rejoins us. That being said, well, we want to thank you for being here after you probably had a long weekend. If you're anything like us, there was a whole lot of things going on. Henrik Stenson, Phil Mickelson going down to the wire on Sunday at Royal Tune. Other things going on.
Again.
A little baseball. Tune! Hey, that was a thriller on Sunday if you're willing to wake up at 4. That's one of the major, I guess, advantages. A lot of people wouldn't look at it this way, Katie, but I do. One of the major advantages to working these hours is that, you know, there's a lot more, I don't know, there are a lot of good sporting events that go on in the wee hours of the weekends. You know, if you're a soccer fan for one, or, you know, some of these golf tournaments,
right.
You know, especially if they're across the pond, but, you know, they get started early anyway, even when they're here. So, you know, there's a lot of good sports to be seen early,
yeah,
and I'm usually up for it.
And there's a lot of really good sports to be seen late as well, and we have to be up for it.
Yeah, so thank you for not sleeping, much like us. So we got all kinds of that stuff to get to today. We will be speaking with Let me try that again.
You can do it.
We might have to just start the whole show again. We're going to be speaking with Emily Campagna once again. If you missed her interview on Friday, she was marvelous. We spent the majority of the time talking about something with her.
Lance Armstrong and that federal suit that is being filed against him.
It made an impression on me. No, she was great. We did the Lance Armstrong thing, and we didn't even get a chance to ask her about Tom Brady, Draymond Green. So we decided we'd schedule her back for Monday. And then the Tom Brady thing got a little bit interesting.
But there's some things that are still happening based on some reports just came out a few hours ago. So we will have some stuff to get into, and I'm going to just tease it that way so
okay.
that people will tune in a little bit later.
There have been two twists in this story
yes.
since we had Emily on Friday. One of them almost rendered that topic irrelevant.
Yes.
And then the second one kind of brought it right back into the forefront again. So we'll speak with her
this
on that.
Continues to be the never ending Deflategate story.
Yeah,
never
kind
ending.
Of. We'll tell you all about it. That's at the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. At 8 o'clock, we've got some NBA to talk with Scott Howard Cooper. There's a little bit of summer league going on. I mean, the Kings didn't do great, but whatever. There are more things going on in the NBA, including a bit of a rift between Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, shockingly.
Yeah.
And we'll have all that information for you, too. The Giants struggled this weekend while the A's did not, other than yesterday. All things that we're going to hit, but I want to start the day as, you know, we'll have some British Open next, but I want to start the day by saying, Katie, that, you know, this, where we are at these studios here at 5244 Madison Avenue, there's some
weird stuff that happens
right.
around here.
It's a unique part of town.
Right.
I used to like live really close to it, and so I've happened to know that it's really unique. I mean, the good thing is that if you're a charitable person, there are lots of individual charities to give to on just about every street corner. From Madison all the way up to Sunrise.
Right.
Most of them will let you know they're a charity because they've got a little
cardboard sign.
It says, hey, checking it out here. So we see a lot of strange things. And especially early in the morning, you know, when we're out there kind of prepping for the show, right? I've seen strange people walking by pushing baby strollers with God knows what in them.
I know.
You know, and we got a great dive bar right across the street. I think people sometimes, I don't know, leave after last call and just kick it for two hours. Right. So there are a lot of weird things going on, none of which approach to me what we saw today.
I know.
Which for the first time, Matt, we're standing outside and I don't even know what we were talking about. We were just trying to prep for the show. This guy just comes booking around the corner.
We had just gotten outside. We hadn't even really started the conversation.
This dude comes booking around the corner and he's dressed in, I don't know about normal, but he's dressed in kind of just casual clothing. He's got a ball cap on and like regular normal shorts and a t-shirt. Looked like he could be dressed to go out to the mall or something like that.
Like normal. Like mm-hmm. he might be going to the movies or something.
Dude's booking it, though. And I mean, if you can try to imagine the reasons for someone to be sprinting through our parking lot at 10 after 5 in the morning, You know, go through how many of them are good scenarios for you?
I see you've met my uncle.
Yeah, well, he could be if your uncle is also maybe your brother. He was a younger fellow. But do any of these scenarios that you're imagining in your head, are any of them good?
Running at
you're sprinting through our parking lot in like you're not in exercise clothing. You're like in normal everyday casual clothing. You're sprinting through our parking lot at 5:10 a.m. Do you picture any scenario where like that's a good thing?
Nothing, even with exercise clothes.
Okay, now I'm going to throw a twist at you. This guy didn't have any shoes on.
Barefoot.
He was barefoot.
That's why the ground's cold. He's trying to get off that cold ground, get some warmth.
I guess. Any of that make sense to you?
No.
So then it basically starts a conversation between Nate and I about what could be the possible reasons that he was out at such an early time running barefooted. And I was like, of course, me, like the pet owner, I'm like, well, the only thing I can think of is if, like, his animal got out and he just, you know, opened the door to grab the newspaper, who knows, and the animal got out, right? And he had to go running after it. But he was just running through the parking lot.
Wasn't yelling for any animals.
I made eye contact with this guy, and I couldn't look away because I gave him the look, and I can't control my facial expression, so he absolutely knew what was going through my head at the time. Like, what the hell are you doing, you weirdo? Like, to me, one of the grossest things is walking, or in this case, running around outside on pavement without shoes on. It's just filthy.
Especially in this part of town.
Oh.
So if that was you and you're listening, 339-1140, 800-920-1140, tell us why. Tell us why, please. I mean, I'm just curious. The only other plausible scenario
he
to me.
He was running home to listen to our show.
Right. That had to be it. The only other plausible scenario to me other than running home to hear our show was that, you know, he was over at the old lady's house and her husband came home and he didn't have time to get his shoes.
Of course you would think that.
I don't know. I could
Man,
be.
It's so weird that my head doesn't even work that way. Like, you're totally.
No one else's does.
You're totally right. He's totally right, though, isn't he?
I guess. I can book him for later in the show. I can try and go find him 8 o'clock hour.
I just mean, stand he might out be there. Running around outside right now.
After Scott Howard Cooper, we can get barefoot. Weirdo parking lot, man.
I'll tell you what, if we just watched for the people that raided our ashtrays, we could get some pretty interesting guests. But, you know, that's just my opinion. Anyway, lots of things we got to get to today, including a little bit of golf for you. Out there in Scotland, the Open Championship. Phil Mickelson started the weekend on Thursday going 8 under par. It was spectacular. It was one shot off the course record, and that shot just happened to be a putt that lipped out on 18. It was spectacular. He turns it around going 2 under on Friday. Henrik Stenson goes 6 under. And so you go into the weekend with these two guys separated by one stroke atop the leaderboard. Then it all comes down to yesterday. Henrik and Phil going back and forth. You're not real big on golf generally, Katie?
I do enjoy golf. I'm not going to spend 4 days watching it, but when it's a good story, I absolutely will.
When it comes down to Sunday?
Yes.
And you got two guys going back and forth. And
like the majors, you know? Like, right. I can totally get on board with those.
Phil's doing all right.
He had a freaking phenomenal week. I got a crazy stat. Can I give you the stat?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We all know how this ended.
Stat me.
We all know how this ended, right? We know that Phil did not.
Well, if you're going to just give it
all
away.
Right. Do your thing, and then I'll give
stat. No, it's too late.
Phil did not win.
He didn't.
Breaking
Sorry,
news
spoiler
right
alert,
here.
Guys.
Yeah.
Damn it.
But so the crazy thing is that in those 4 days, Phil Mickelson shot his two best career scores in 362 rounds in majors and did not win. It was a crazy weekend in golf, just like historical. I have all kinds of crazy stats I'm going to throw at you. That, to me, is one of the craziest. He had a phenomenal, phenomenal tournament. Just somebody else came and just murked it from him.
And ironically, it was the guy that is usually in the other position that, you know, that is right there. Henrik Stenson is a guy that for a long time has had himself in the conversation in some of these bigger tournaments. only to not have it come together on Sunday for him. Yesterday was the day. It wasn't just a good day. It was a record-setting day for Henrik Stenson. Phil Mickelson caught the short end of it. We've got audio from that and the full recap. When we return, it's The Drive on Sports 1140 KHTK. Radio with Nate and Katie.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you like that? I write my own lyrics, kids.
You are a multi-talented man, yes.
Just super duper. Nate Gajir, Katie Christensen with you. Matt George pressing all the right buttons across the glass over there as we take you right up till 9 o'clock here on KHTK. Dave's going to be back tomorrow. He's getting some well-earned rest. Hope he had a lot of fun out there.
Now
and hope
that he's like a couple days into his vacation, now I feel comfortable potentially calling him.
Oh, really?
And harassing him today. The first 2 days, I knew better. I knew better to do it on Thursday and Friday.
A little sensitive.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll incorporate that at some point. But we do have a lot of guests. Emily Campagno is going to be joining us at 7:35, and then we'll talk some NBA with Scott Howard Cooper. Mostly talking about his super teams, and I want to get to him with Adam Silver's comments about, I don't know, maybe trying to fix this,
whatever that means. Yeah.
Fix this with the next CBA. I'm not sure if that's going to be pretty or not the next time we come to this round of negotiations. But, hey, speaking of Dave, there was some golf played this weekend.
I know.
I'm not sure exactly how that's speaking about Dave. But
He totally geeked out on it as well?
I'm sure he did. I mean, I'm hoping he was up that early yesterday to watch it. I'm going to preface this by saying Henrik Stenson has always kind of been one of my, like, dark horse favorite golfers.
Right.
Because he's one of those guys that just looks the part. Right, and like, you know, he does. Like, yeah. This is a guy that, here's a guy. I'm doing my Frank Caliendo doing John Madden very poorly. You know, he's 6'1", muscle, you know, 200, he's athletic, he's Swedish. Like, the guy's a born Viking. He's, like, built to pound golf balls. And, you know, he's decent in tournaments, but he's never gotten a big one. And, in fact, he went through a stretch there where he was just hurting. But, you know, so yesterday you're thinking, oh, Phil's feeling it.
Well, and he's older, too. Mm-hmm. So it's like he's never really won a major before. He's 40 years old. There's not a lot of guys who have had success winning majors over 40.
Right. Yeah. So he's kind of got that going against him. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is when we used to do those little drafts for the majors, and Henrik Stenson was always one of the guys that I would just take a flyer on because it seemed like come the weekend, he's always floating around and it would just take, you know, one.
And he was always available in your draft.
That's it. And so it's always, if he could just put together that one round on Sunday, you know. It hadn't really happened. I think a lot of people were looking at Phil yesterday, and then, you know, they hit the back nine, and Henrik did some things.
I could listen
to the whispering golf audio.
I could listen to golf sound all day. And he leans over the putt, and he's looking it down. And it goes in!
It's in!
It's like, it's so quiet, and then as soon as, like, the ball is hit, then you can celebrate and be normal. He leans over the putt. It's like, really?
Sounds like our shoeless friend from the parking lot.
So much to everyone's surprise, Henrik turns in a birdie. He's 17 under, but Phil's not finished yet. What a call.
Blow for blow.
Almost inevitably.
I love this guy. Who is this? Who is this guy?
Got me. The golf playing radio network, I'm sure.
Oh, my gosh. Classic.
Pair of birdies at 10. Phil stays one back. But Henrik continues his push on 15. Cold-blooded on that one.
Yeah. This guy sounds like Mrs. Doubtfire. I'm sorry.
He does it. I can't get over it. He does a little bit. Oh, nice. Okay.
All right. I'll let you continue.
Mrs. Doubtfire on the call. Things are looking tough for Phil. They step up on 16. And darn if he doesn't have an eagle opportunity that he missed, but he could still get a stroke back. So I gave it away. He missed the eagle putt. He would tap in for bird. You're just having a great time with this. Because we got more.
Go.
We got more.
Keep it going.
I want to hear you repeat these calls, too, by the way.
Okay, I'm going to do my best.
Phil gets the birdie at 16 when he had an opportunity to tie, but Stenson continues the charge on that very same hole. Just like that. Every time Phil made a move, Henrik Stenson was there.
Stenson over the putt for birdie on 16th. absolute stillness. And it goes in!
Is that close?
I think it was close.
That's pretty close.
Not bad. I think you did all right.
That's pretty close. I'm loving this. Okay. Sorry, I'm having way too much fun with this.
On the 18.
It's 6:24 in the morning. I should be having fun right now.
Henrik Stenson with a chance to close it out on 18. Just abruptly like that. 20 under for the tournament. That's one record.
Oh.
20 under par tied the record for the lowest score to par in a major. His 264 over the 4 days is the lowest 72-hole score in a major.
Yeah.
You have more.
I do. But, okay, so you already mentioned, first he's the first Swedish man. So it makes me wonder, and I did not look into my LPGA information, but first Swedish man to win a major, which is kind of amazing. But I talked to you earlier. He joined a list of just 8 other guys to win a major over 40 years old. Now, I want to give you this list and you tell me. Hold on. Let's see. Okay. Let's see. Jerry Barber at 45. That was the 1961 PGA Championship. Like, there's only one guy in this whole era, right? We've got Roberto DiVincenzo.
Right.
Yes. 44. The 1967 Open, all right? Here's one that people might know. Darren Clark was 42 when he won the 2011 Open, right? Tom Kite, 42 for the 1992 U.S. Open. Tommy Bolt, 42, 1958
Yikes.
U.S. Open. Mark O'Meara, 41 at the 1998 Masters. And then this one really takes the cake. Reg Whitcomb, 40, the 1938 Open. The last one, old Tom Morris, 40 in 1861. 1861.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
And his name is Old Tom Morris.
Old Tom Morris.
Old Tom Morris, yes.
Well, you mentioned oh, go ahead.
No, I mean, 40 years old. He's making some moves right now. Not a big list of guys. Not a big list of guys. But, yeah, his 20 under, obviously, a major championship record. But Phil had... He finishes runner-up for the 11th time in his career in a major, I believe. And, yeah, Jack Nicklaus, the only one that has more. Can you give me a guess at how many?
How many times he's finished second?
Yeah, runner-up.
Ooh, 24.
19.
Ah, I was close.
Yeah.
I wasn't that
But
far.
The craziest part about it, because we started out, like, on Thursday when this started, Phil Mickelson had an incredible open to this tournament. And guess what? It's, like, crazy how it all works out on Sunday. But his 17 under through 4 would have won him all but four of the opens, which, I mean, he had a great round, but that just tells you right now, Henrik Stenson, how great it is. But the question I have for you, and I was thinking about this, you know, last night when I was kind of thinking about the show, when you have a championship, like whether it's a golf tournament or any other sport, right? If it's a series, if it's basketball and it's a series, do you want to see domination? Or do you want to see it come down to the wire? And think about it during the break. I want to know what the listeners think. I would love their feedback on the text line at 44-1140, or you can call us at 339-1140. Do you want to see utter domination, or do you want to see a close game or a match or series?
And is that different for you, whether it's a team sport or an individual sport?
Dang
because
it, Nate.
I have a feeling.
Dang it,
I have
Nate.
A feeling it might be.
Dang
we'll
it.
Take your phone calls
Dang
on
it.
That. And just as a note for you, you mentioned the Swedish men. What, I didn't give anything away. You still
yes,
haven't
no,
answered
that was
the question.
Be my next question after we got it. It's like, okay, well, does it make a difference if it's individual sport? But now we know. So
no, we don't know.
Well,
that's why we take phone calls. That's what the phone line's for, Katie.
Gee. We're going to fight during the break.
I hope so. You mentioned the Swedish men. Swedish women, much more successful in major tournaments. You might remember Anna Nordqvist won one major.
Oh, yeah, totally remember
right.
her.
Lieselotte Newman, Helen Alfredsson, and then, of course, the great Annika Sörenstam with 10 major championships out of Sweden. So take your phone calls. Tell us, You want to see domination, or do you want to see a close championship? And is that different for you if it's individual versus team sports? When we return, it's a drive. Sports 1140 KHTK. Welcome back. It's a drive. KHTK Sports 1140. Nate Goodyear, Katie Christensen with you. Dave will be back tomorrow.
Mañana.
Well, a well-earned rest from him. So thanks for joining us over the last 3 days as we've tried to not turn this into a total disaster. I want to remind you, Monster Energy's Aftershock Music Festival is coming October 22nd and 23rd at Discovery Park, featuring Tool, Slayer, Avenged Sevenfold, Korn, Primus, Disturbed, and more. Tickets are on sale now. For more info at aftershockconcert.com. That's what it says. It says, for more info at aftershockconcert.com. I will Ron Burgundy anything that's in front of me.
Absolutely.
And so, like, chances are if I stumble on it, it's because I don't understand the sentence midstream. I hadn't pre-read this. For more info at aftershockconcert.com, that is a sentence that objectively does not make sense. So it threw me off a little bit. Anyway.
You're having problems with that one, huh?
That's the website. Go there, and you can get more information on the Aftershock Concert October 22nd and 23rd at Discovery Park. Easy enough?
Yeah. I think you nailed that one. Was that the third time?
I think so.
Okay.
Just to address something you had in the update, you were bringing up how the Giants got swept by the Padres, and we'll have a little more baseball later on. Kind of surprising in that the Padres stink. Kind of not surprising in that the Giants went into that weekend having won all 9 games this season prior against the Padres. So, you know, you're due for a bit of a skid. It just stinks to have it all come in the same weekend. Returning to golf, before the break, we posed the question, you know, in any sort of championship event for sports, would you prefer to see a performance like yesterday where it comes down to the wire, great competition, one person ultimately pulls ahead, or just utter domination by one side? And tell us, too, if it's different for individual sports, because I would offer 2 examples for you. One being the Seahawks absolutely beating the tar out of the Broncos in the Super Bowl.
That is the one that came to mind for me, because when I was thinking about this, I'm like, you know what? That is one that I will never forget, mm-hmm. because it was absolutely pointless and painless to watch.
Just no, right.
Yeah, so,
from like the first snap,
yeah.
when it flew over Peyton's head.
Exactly.
That was pretty much
and
it.
And it's one of those things like you want, I always go for, I want a competitive mm-hmm. series. Like, I want to see a 7-game series in the NBA. Mm-hmm. I want to see a great Super Bowl in the world. So, you know what I mean? I want it to be competitive, something that goes as long as possible.
Right.
Because after you commit yourself as a sports fan and you're watching for the entire season, you want it to be phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Like, in the Eastern Conference playoffs this year, it was painful because they, you know, the first couple rounds, I think it was all just a sweep all
yeah.
the way through. But I remember the Western Conference Finals this year. I remember the finals. Of course, it's new, but last year went 6 games. Like, I want to see that as a sports fan. But I'm still going to remember the utter blowouts.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know the difference there, but it got me to thinking. Like, individual sports are a little bit different in what in what my preference is. Like, I will absolutely remember, and I want to see dominance, right?
Yeah, now I would say that only applies for me when it comes to golf, because other individual sports like tennis, there's still that competition
right.
between the two players. When it comes to golf, the biggest difference is that the defense in this case is the course.
Right.
And the course is always going to play the same level of defense, right? And so that's why, kind of in a convoluted way, sheer dominance in golf of one player is still incredible and riveting to watch, because we're not going to be making excuses like, how, well, you know, the 18th hole had
yeah.
a torn hamstring. You know what I mean? Like, that's not going to happen. And when you see someone
saying.
Dominate a team sport, or like, say, Serena Williams kicking the heck out of
yeah.
everyone under the sun in tennis, when you see that happen, you know that there was some sort of a deficiency with the defensive side. You didn't get the essence of competition. You didn't get what you signed up for.
Right.
With golf, a guy can beat the field by 12 strokes and still be incredible because of what he's doing in relation to the course. And that I guess, is the difference.
I don't know. I mean, I look at any individual sport, because like, track and field, to me, I love watching track and field.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for some people that might be boring. tennis is not some tennis is not something that I'm super into. But guess, like, when I think back at it, I remember the dominance,
yeah.
right? Martina Navratilova in boxing, another individual sport. Mike Tyson, like Floyd Mayweather has just cleaned. You remember
now,
kind
with that,
of
though,
dominance.
Okay, with that, though, you're talking about overall body of work with all of those people,
yes.
aren't you?
But that's kind of what you remember, and that's a buildup over time, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you remember their dominance overall.
Okay, so are we talking about
an individual sport?
Yeah.
You remember Usain Bolt and everything he's done? The Olympics in, where was it last? China? In Beijing?
Beijing,
yeah.
I think.
Phenomenal. I mean, I remember those, but at the same time, because a lot of the people that dominate individual sports, they dominate it over a long period of time. So you stop kind of remembering individual performances and you start looking at their entire body of work, which I don't think you do that in any other sport.
Well, if you're judging greatness, yeah, you do. But, I mean, single event greatness as to what appeals to you more. I mean, everyone is going to, yes, gravitate towards the people that are singularly dominant. But, you know, I think Floyd Mayweather's a really good example. He has a dominant overall record, but is not thought of a guy that is a particularly dominant fighter from a physical standpoint. And listen, I'm a little bit out of my depth here when it comes to boxing. But I know that with Floyd Mayweather, he's very defensive. And there's a big knock on him. Like, A, he hasn't fought the biggest fights at their peak, right? He waited like 3 years past when he should have to fight Manny Pacquiao.
I thought you were going to say it's because he can't read.
That could be it too.
Sorry.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, I don't... He kind of is thought of on a lesser level as guys that aren't undefeated for their career
right.
because he hasn't had those individually dominant performances against the top competition. He's just kind of showed up and defended his way to a win. And damn if he's not undefeated. So he's earned that, but he's not quite given the same credit, I guess. We've made it a long circle in this conversation.
Well, we've got a lot of people weighing in on the text line, too. So I'll start with... from the 916, a close series is what sports is all about. The competitiveness of it is what draws fans in.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely agree with that, but I think golf specifically is a little bit different. I think Tiger Woods, his dominance over, and I mean, it's obviously, it's a buildup. It starts, you know, you dominate one tournament, people tune in. The more and more you dominate, the mm-hmm. more and more kind of attention you get. So I agree with it. The competitiveness draws you in. You want a close series, but I also think in golf, it's like one of those, you could just demolish people, and that's what people want to see because they build to it, especially golf, because a lot of people play, and they know how frustrating it is, so you can really get on board with that. But
a blowout is much more watchable in golf than
yes,
any other sport.
Absolutely. From the 916, to your point, I think golf in defense is in the golfer's head. The mm-hmm. course can change daily over the 4 days.
Yeah,
and it does. I mean, they move the holes.
I thought about that, but that's also because that's true and weighs more than in any other sport. But I think you could probably say that about any team sport, too, is that, you know, being up 25 in the second quarter, you're fighting yourself just as much as you're
right.
in basketball, for example, just as much as you're fighting the other team because you don't want to get lazy and so on and so forth. But it's still a fair point. That's the only reason I didn't bring it up.
Right.
It is more applicable in golf than anything else. So we'll take your phone calls more on the text line. Plus, we're going to talk a little bit of money next because there is some interesting stuff that happened with the purse in this. Plus some great financial figures coming out of the NBA. We'll let you know all about it because Money Talk is what you're here for. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK. Hey there. Hi there. Ho there. Nate Goodyear, Katie Christensen,
hello.
Turn on, girl.
Hello.
You got it? That's right. Use your words and your hands. Turn on the microphone.
Hey.
You're good. We own you till 9 o'clock, or at least she does because she's the one that owns me. So not really.
Not really.
Dave will be back tomorrow. Until then, it's us. We got Emily Campagno, sports and business legal analyst, going to be joining us at the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I want to get to some of that Tom Brady stuff, among other things. Scott Howard Cooper will talk NBA at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, are they still friends?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. He had made some comments during a radio interview, I believe in China, about talking to good old Russ, you know, after he made his decision. And I don't know, you might be surprised at some of the things that came out of that. That was a bromance that I don't know that anyone ever thought would end. And is it ending? I don't know.
Well, it's definitely over for them as teammates. Breaking news here, but you knew that. More to come on that topic. But first, we want to remind you that you can help foster children by donating school supplies at the Sleep Train Back to School Drive. That's Friday, this Friday, July 22nd, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. right here at the KHDK Studios, 5244 Madison Avenue. You can bring your gift of paper, pens, crayons, pencils, backpacks, binders, and more to our Back to School Drive. We'll have free lunch courtesy of the Barbecue Pro, and the drive and the lowdown will be broadcasting live from outside the KHDK Studios while collecting your donations. For more info, visit khtk.com.
They get to hang out with us Friday morning.
You can come see us there.
You can see the man behind the curtain. And by that, I'm talking about Dave. Yeah.
Yeah, the guy that controls our Wizard of Oz deal here. If it's anything like it is this morning, I'm going to be bundled up. I mean,
chilly.
I'm not well insulated as it is, Katie, but this is
For what you lack in, like, body mass, you make up for in body hair.
Yeah, okay. So that's supposed to work?
It's better than being, you know, slight of frame like you are, and also hairless,
I'm athletic,
would imagine.
All right. Athletically built. We talked a lot about the Open Championship and Henrik Stenson and Phil Mickelson bringing it right down the wire. Henrik Stenson winning his first major championship and the first for any man from Sweden. One sticking point before we get to some of the money they got to take home. You mentioned how he's over 40 and one of a handful of golfers ever. And there was a bit of, because Henrik Stenson is exactly 40.
He is.
There
was someone on the text line
a
earlier.
Rebuttal.
Yeah. From the 916. Not over 40. He is 40. Game, set, match. No, I'm really bad at math, but I'm pretty sure that's not how it works.
The way we're playing this game is that if your first birthday celebrates the beginning of your second year of life, which it does,
yes,
then your 40th birthday would indicate that the second you turn 40, you have now been on Earth for more than 40 years. That's the way we're going to do it.
See?
But listen, you want to get after Katie that early, nobody can blame you. Right?
I'm just saying, he's over 40.
A minor squabble this morning between Katie and the listeners.
Over 40, and he made some change over the weekend.
He did, but not as much as he could have, correct?
Oh, man, that's what's so crazy about this to me. His purse was $1,551,000.
Mm-hmm.
However, had this taken place a week ago, he would have made, it was like $246,000 more, because the pound dropped, plummeted, and so did his purse. But you know what? He's got $1.5 million. I don't feel bad for him, but it's one of those things where you're sitting here going, like, in a week.
That's how much it's changed.
He lost more than most people make in a year.
Well, yeah. So it's a good
definitely
thing that
more than we make in a year.
Yeah. Combined.
Yeah.
In
combined,
like 5 years.
Times five.
So he's got that going for him, which is nice. No one's crying over a loss of $250,000, but maybe that's why he went out and had a great Sunday, because he knew if he got second place, he was really going to be losing money.
Exactly. Well,
so how much did you say they paid out for last place?
Okay. It was like 81st place.
And this is through the weekend, right?
This,
like, not the guys
weekend
that didn't make the cut.
No, this is
finishers through Sunday.
Yes. So, oh my gosh, it was just over $18,000 for 81st place. I look at it this way: if I'm going to be in a sport like golf, and I understand it takes a lot of money to travel and it's a very small percentage of the people that get the big payout. However, if I'm going to win the Open, I'm not going to be sharing my money with 81st place. There's got to be a cutoff.
No,
there is.
That's why they cut people on Thursday and Friday.
No, there's got to be a cutoff. They get sponsorship money. They get Friday, the, like, Friday, come whatever. On now. I want it all.
What are you crying about $18,000 for? The guy just made nearly $1.6 million, and you're going to say, hey, that guy down there, he can't have 18 grand. You wasted his money for 4 days of golf. The guy did his best to make the cut, and you're not going to give him anything out of it?
You know what?
That's rude.
That's loser's talk right there, Nate. That's loser's talk.
Listen, come on. We all deserve participation trophies.
That is exactly right? What that is. It is an $18,000 participation trophy.
I'll take that in a heartbeat.
I know. I get it because I look at it, put it in the perspective of my life.
How about this? You don't get a paycheck anymore unless we're the best show.
That's not how it
That's
works.
It.
And if we're not, 10? Matt gets it.
If
That's
not
it.
Matt,
it
gets
all right, I'm ruining the show.
Or it just goes right back into our budget or something like that. I'm not sure.
It goes into our travel budget, doesn't
we
it?
We have a budget?
Either way, are you a ruthless capitalist pig like Katie? Not willing to give those poor people at the bottom of the, I guess it's the top of the totem pole. We discussed that with Dave, didn't we? The little guy.
The top of the totem pole.
Yeah, come on, man. Listen, Henrik Stenson's win isn't that important if he didn't have to beat 81 other people to do it. So number 81 did his part, Katie.
Really? Because I feel like he didn't. He finished last.
Last. How far do we have to go down with this, okay? If you get rid of 81, then what is it, 80, okay? And then what is it, like 50? Like, why do we even have everyone else competing now?
People have to eat, Katie.
They do, these guys. Number 81 did his part to make Henrik Stenson's weekend worth it.
Matt, I'm all about you joining the show, but only when you take my side. Is that cool?
Nate, people don't need to eat.
Well, I'm actually not the person to be making the argument for food.
People eating, yeah.
Neither am I.
I can't confirm that people actually need to eat to survive.
Nate's argument is people need beer, Katie. Mm-hmm. People need beer.
Pork chop in every can, right?
Water and powder and toothpaste.
That's it. I'm trying to, as I'm doing my best here, to try to find the poor schmuck that was 81st. Yeah, you're going after Greg Chalmers here. That's Australia's own.
Oh, that's probably what his plane ticket from Australia to Scotland probably cost him $18,000.
Now, okay.
I take it back.
I'll concede this to you. If you're going to make an argument that this guy shouldn't get paid, he was 21 over par for the weekend.
Ooh, ouch. Yeah.
Including a 14 over yesterday.
Oh, gosh, now, that hurts my heart.
Now, if I'm him, I might not accept the money.
Principle like, of the matter.
Yeah, like,
told him to walk home.
18 grand for a 14 over. Oh, boy, that's a great payday.
You know who else shouldn't accept money?
What?
Someone that
Any of
walks
us?
Off the mound with a blister on their finger.
Oh, I see. Someone did that after just five pitches. Just to point out, that 14 over 85 would be the absolute best score that I've ever scored in golf, probably by like four strokes. So just throwing that out there, I would definitely take 18 grand for it.
To be horrible.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One of the A's biggest trade pieces went down early yesterday. We'll tell you what that means as the deadline approaches. More of the drive on the way. Sports 1140 KHTK.